Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. When you hear the word forensics, you probably think of like a cops and robbers TV show or like CSI, Law and Order, something like that. It is a word that is featured in a lot of TV dramas out there. It is a word that plays prominently in some family dramas sometimes, in that forensic accounting can be a part of the divorce process for some families. Not in most cases, but in some. And that, of course, would relate to personal finances, which is why we're talking about it here. Our guest is Kevin Caspers, managing partner at Caspers Cheghini, LLP. He joins us from Vaughan, Ontario. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce. How are you?
I am well. I had to look up the word forensic to see what it actually meant. But in the context of accounting, how do you define it?
I mean, it's funny that you were making a reference to what most people think of forensic when they hear that word, you know, like the physical crime scene investigation. I guess in this instance, the simplest way to put it is it's the almost like the financial equivalent of that. Looking at relevant financial numbers, figures, and then putting those together to sort of figure out the big picture, the full picture.
In the very simplest of divorce cases, there are some bank statements, there's the value of the home, it's all very simple. What are some things that people in a relationship that is dissolving could be hiding that forensic accounting might help discover?
The first instance where a forensic accountant might be required is where one of the parties is self-employed, owns their own business. They're very much in control of their professional financial circumstances. So in that sort of situation, there might be some concern as to what that party is doing with respect to their business. Is their income accurately being reflected? Are they moving, you know, these business funds in another direction, hiding them somewhere, etc., because they have so much control of that business, there might be some concern in that sense, and then thus a forensic accountant might be required to suss it out.
What about things like real estate or business interests that might not be declared? What would fit in that category?
So it's tricky. The more time a party has to, say, hide their assets, move their assets, this kind of thing, the better they are able to hide them. It's very hard for a forensic accountant, for example, to find something where there's absolutely no trace. Now, as part of a divorce procedure, divorce matter, if we're talking about the division of assets, that's worldwide assets, right? So for all we know, if I provide you, Bruce, with a financial statement and I'm listing my accounts and I have an account in, say, India or, you know, somewhere in South America, how are you to know that I've excluded that particular account on my financial statement? And unless there is a tidbit, you know, a little nugget that suggests, you know, a transfer or money coming in from this account that hasn't been accounted for, then it's time, you know, then we can get the forensic accountant to kind of follow that nugget. But if you don't have that, it's very hard to find those kinds of assets.
So let's say there is the nugget. How do they do their work? What are they able to uncover? What are they able to, I don't even know if this is the right word, subpoena?
Right. So, I mean, they would almost go what you say, go down that rabbit hole. Okay, so where does this nugget lead? What does this account tie to? Okay, then we then need statements for that particular account, or as you might have mentioned earlier, a property, some hint of a property in another jurisdiction. And they will try and get as much information following that path, going down that rabbit hole that they can, in order to get, like I said, the full picture. What is that property? When was it acquired? What was the value of it? You know, when was this account set up? How much was in it? Was it, did it increase in value? Was money taken out, moved somewhere else, et cetera, et cetera? They will, try to get as much information as possible to build that, to build that picture.
What are my rights? Let's say this is my soon-to-be former spouse, and I have suspicions about what assets they have, what their income has been. What am I allowed to see? What am I allowed to ask? What accounts am I allowed to access?
There's certain requirements under the Family Law Act as to what should be produced. It starts with things on what we would call basic disclosure, like, you know, tax returns, notices of assessment, credit card statements and bank statements for the last 3 years. That essentially would support your financial statement that you're providing. But if that leads to, like I said, some sort of inquiry that needs to happen. Well, we don't know how much was, you know, there's a large amount that was transferred out a couple of years ago and we don't know where it went. A further investigation might be needed to clarify that. And you're certainly entitled to have a full understanding of what the financial circumstances are. But I caveat that, however the marriage or relationship was set up, for example, you, Bruce, are going to be in charge of managing the household finances. I'm good with that. And I trust you to do that. And I'm going to do something else, maybe, you know, take care of the kids or take care of, what have you. And then when at the time of separation, because of my ignorance, I can't simply go on a fishing expedition based on suspicion because I have not been up to date or been made aware of how the finances have been managed throughout our relationship. So there has to be some reason why you're asking for certain things.
There is a fair amount of mistrust often when marriages end. I am sure you have a lot of clients who just have this sneaking suspicion that all is not disclosed. What guidance would you have for them in terms of whether or not they should retain the services of a forensic accountant, whether it's going to be worth it to do that, both in terms of the cost and also the potential negative effect on the other party?
No, that's really the crux of the assessment is, what am I looking for? And is there a basis to what I'm looking for? And then two, is it proportional? Because a forensic accountant can be very expensive. They're performing a complex and in-depth financial investigation. So if you're chasing, even if you're suspicious and there's a hint of, you know, $20,000, $30,000, does it really make sense to incur $100,000 investigation to really get to the bottom of it? So you first have to have that proportionality, right? How much do I suspect is not being reflected here? How much am I chasing versus how much it's going to cost me in forensic accounting fees to actually get to the bottom of it? Second of all, I go back to that original question is there actually the nugget there, showing you, giving you the basis for your suspicion that you should be chasing something and having a forensic accountant assist you in doing so?
In what percentage of cases? I assume it is low, but I don't know if it's like 1 in 100 or 1 in 10,000.
I mean, I don't have the statistics, so I can certainly speak from just my experience and what I've heard, at least in my 10 years in family law. I spoke earlier about one of the parties having a business. Generally, you will involve what's called a chartered business valuator to look into that business to, like I said, ensure the party's income is accurately reflected for support purposes, or that if the business is subject to equalization, division of matrimonial assets, if you will, that the value of the business is accurate, this kind of thing. That is very common. That is a very common use of forensic accounting in valuating a business and valuating an income for a self-employed individual. Beyond that, when we start talking about this real in-depth forensic accounting, chasing statements, going back historically to look at transactions, maybe looking at even lifestyle, if the party has a large cash income. They want to compare the lifestyle to what they're saying their income is, and if that is commensurate. These kinds of investigations, very rare. I only had an instance where it almost happened, and it just didn't, turned out not to be proportional because, again, how much are you actually chasing at the end of the day?
Just one last question before we go here. What would be two or three tips for the DIY of forensic accounting? So you're not going to hire the firm, but as a person in a marriage that is ending, some things that you could keep in mind or look for to ensure that there is, as best as you can hope for, full disclosure on both sides.
So
without going through waste paper baskets and, you know, Facebook.
Right. Account. Which certainly happens. But that's a good question, because I think the lawyers, the attorneys essentially have to do a bit of, do it yourself, accounting, forensic accounting, because they want to assist their clients in making that determination. So a family lawyer will generally look at those kinds of statements, whatever financial disclosure has been produced, to see if, you know, do the statements, do the supporting documentation correspond and match up with the financial statement. Okay, so the supporting documentation supports what's been, you know, written and support and disclosed in the party's financial statement. Then from there, does the income support the expenses? Right. Well, if someone it has expenses of, you know, $100,000, $200,000 above their income, well, how are they covering that if there's no debt? So these kinds of little things that don't match up throughout the financial information that's provided at the basic level can then lead you down to that necessity for a forensic accountant.
Really interesting stuff. I hope for the majority of our listeners, they are fascinated by this topic, but we'll never have to do anything about it. Kevin,
agreed.
Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Bruce.
Kevin Caspers, managing partner at Caspers Cheghini, LLP. We were talking about the role of forensic accounting and its potential use in cases of divorce.